How many have ever played one of the games, simulation games? You ever played one of the games that there's simulation, video, there's something going on? Have you ever been in a room where there's simulation going on? It feels like you're right there. I know I haven't tried the new Google goggles and stuff. Have you ever tried those yet? Anybody tried those? You know, it seems really real. And sometimes simulation can be very helpful in us learning. I know several months ago, Brant Zucker, the bank that he works for, they had an event down at Black Wing. It's a shooting place. And they were, several of them were out, and we had, it was clay pigeons. So you go to 10 different stations, and you shoot these clay pigeons that are flying all over the place. They're from behind you, running on the ground, everything. So it's the first time I ever did it. And there was a couple guys I was with. They had their own guns. They had done this before. And so we were going around, and probably about halfway through, I had hit more clay pigeons than they did. And the guy, and they always have I don't know what you call them, one of the guys who work there, they take you around. There's always somebody with you. And so that guy turned around and goes, "How are you hitting all these clay pigeons when you've never done this before?" I said, "The Wii." It's true, because we play that duck game, you know, shooting all the Wii. So simulation can be helpful in some ways. But as a Christian, the thing I think we have to be somewhat careful of is that we're not living a simulated Christian life. In James, and that is that I am hearing and seeing and being around things, but I'm really not. It's not doing anything. It's not real life. It's not really what's going on. In James 1:22. In the Bible, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." The word deceive means to cheat by false reckoning. Basically, cheating myself by false reckoning or false reasoning, to deceive. And it goes on in that scripture, it says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Now, the thing with me is that I can look in the mirror. I don't even see myself to begin with because I look in there and I still, my collar's up here and I got things all messed up. I think, I don't even know why I look in the mirror but what this verse tells me is that I can deceive myself. I can deceive myself. Am I applying what God is speaking to me? Am I applying it? If I do not apply what he tells me, then it does not become real in my life. And I'm not talking about going through the Bible and finding every single thing I'm supposed to do and trying to do it. I tried that once. That's a heavy burden. That's legalism. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is following Jesus, having a relationship with him. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some basics. I don't need to wait for Jesus to tell me it's not right to steal, to cheat, to lie. I mean, that's basics in here. But those are the basics. Then there's everyday living life, going through life, listening to him and what he wants to do and making it clear to me. There's a parable in Luke chapter 8. Jesus told his disciples, this is recorded in a couple other the gospels. I think it's in Mark and also Matthew. And Jesus told his disciples, said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. And he told them a simple parable about a farmer going out and sowing seed out. And the seed, basically the word seed there, the word, he says the seed is the word of God, which is God's written, recorded word. But then what happens with God's written, recorded word is, does it become what the Bible calls as rhema? Rhema is the word of, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes from hearing the word. That word is rhema. Faith comes when we hear God speak to us. So I can read this and not have any faith at all. I can read it over and over again. But if I allow and I listen and God begins to speak to me, then that's the rhema. That's where the faith comes. And he says, so this farmer went out and he sowed this word. He was sowing the word. And of course, several of us have heard this parable, and some of the seed, as soon as they heard it, the devil comes and takes away right like that. The moment it hits, it's like, it's gone. We all have an enemy. Whether you want to believe it or not, we have an enemy that is out to deceive, steal, kill, destroy. But we have God who defeated the enemy and is much more powerful. Satan is a fallen angel. He's not God. God created all the angels. So that just puts in perspective of the hierarchy there of what's going on. So Jesus said this parable, the seed, some of it fell. He says some of it, these birds came and ate up because, or with some of it, it fell and the didn't have root. It fell on rocky places and it didn't have root. And even though it was exciting, those who heard it, those who saw it, the seed, it was exciting. They said they received it with joy and never took root. Rooting happens when we actually do something with the word. If you want to know how to have roots in your life, you take that word and we actually do it and apply it. Then he said there was another group who heard the word and it was excited and they went out, but just life and distractions and everything, it just faded away. And then he said, finally, there was the good soil. And these are the ones, and I know that's what our desire is to be good soil. And he says, and these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance, which is the key of producing good fruit, is perseverance. You know, and we'll get that in a minute as far as planting seeds. I discovered, basically from talking to ones and just life, that God usually is only speaking a few things to us at once. The Bible says God is not a God of confusion. He's not going to bombard you and just go with all these things you have to do. He usually speaks a few things. But there's this principle in the kingdom of God, a kingdom principle of multiplication that Jesus said. He said, this one seed produced fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. If we take that one thing or that two things that God is speaking to us and we faithfully apply that, it affects every aspect of our life. It can affect all kinds of stuff, just that. That's a kingdom principle. We don't have to feel like we got to do all these things. As opposed, I just want to be obedient. What are you saying now, God? Because I know if I'm obedient in that, there's this ripple multiplication effect that's going to affect every aspect of my life. It's good for us to read our Bible. It's good to hear from God. It's good to be with God's people. It's good to listen to teachers in the kingdom of God and all that. But I can do all that, and it doesn't mean I'm maturing as a Christian. Same concept. I can go to the YMCA, Planet Fitness, Anytime Fitness, any of these exercise places. I can walk in there every day. But if I don't do something, nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to get any more fit. It's almost like entertainment. I'm going there and I watch everything that's going on. We can deceive ourselves in thinking just because I'm aware of something, then I've obtained it. I become that. Just because I heard it. Just because I got it up here. Oh yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that before. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, so and so. I heard that the other day. Yeah. But what's going on in our life? We can deceive ourselves because we're not applying it. Or I'm not. I can deceive myself because I'm not applying it. And the reality is the result, if I apply it, it's not going to look like everybody else. It's not going to look exactly like. I can hear this message and hear how that person and how that applied and what they did in their life. I can apply the same thing. It's going to be different in my life. It's going to be good, but it's going to be different. You ever planted a seed? Anybody? You ever seen? You ever went and bought a packet of seeds? And you see on the picture there, this is what it's supposed to look like. That's what that's supposed to look like. And we can admire that plant, but that doesn't mean anything's happening. I can even take that seed out and look at it and think, that's an awesome seed. But is it going to become that as long as I just admire it, look at it? What's typically on the back of the seed packet? Instructions. Well, God's given us some instructions here on how to plant and what we need to do and the different things we have to do. But this whole thing of entertainment or deceiving yourself, this isn't something new. Just because we got all this technology that we can put up on that screen, anything that's going on anywhere in the world, we can get our phones out right now and watch. We can watch a movie. Some of you might be doing that right now. We can do all kinds of stuff. Technology has not changed the nature, the core nature of mankind. Because even back in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was one of the prophets, and this was probably 700-800 years before Jesus was even came here on earth. And this is what God was saying to Ezekiel. It says, my people come to you as they usually do, and they set before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. So even back then, they liked entertainment. They liked just to entertain us. You know, let's hear what God's saying. Let's just entertain us. So it's something that I realize that could be me. I could become that where I just listen and I listen to people share and it's good to do that. I mean, there's fantastic. We're so blessed with the opportunity to hear so many preaching and teachers and anointed people throughout the earth that we can hear from all over the world. But being careful that I'm not just doing that for entertainment. Oh, wow, that was such a cool message. A week later, what'd they say? I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go to this next message, and then we hear. Apostle Paul, as we've been talking about the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit inspired him what to write in the book of Ephesians. And the first few chapters, we heard that Paul was talked about, first three chapters, all the wonderful things God has done for us. His grace, His love for us and the promises we have and all these things that he just gave us because it's who he is. So important to remember who he is. No matter what's going on in our life, don't forget who he is. We can get bound up in trying to figure it out and rational, but don't forget who he is. He's good. He's love. He's merciful. We're going to be so blown away, I believe, when we get to heaven, no matter how much we know him, when we get to heaven, of, whoa, this is love? I thought I knew what love was. This is love? This is mercy? This is grace? We're all going to be, whoa. You know, this is amazing. So the last four chapters, and we're today, I know Tom Milligan shared last week and on Ephesians 4, second half. And today we're going to start in Ephesians 5 and just hit a couple points in there. And the first one is Ephesians 5:1 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Now there's a bar for you. Talk about follow God's example. It's like, whoa. The word there to example basically means to be an imitator. And we get the word mimic. Our English word mimic comes from this word here. And to mimic somebody, you have to pay attention to them or get to know them. God is knowable. He is not hiding from us. I know there's some really big teachings about God's hiding. God didn't send Jesus down here to hide from us. He sent Jesus down here so we can know him and get to know him, and we can. God is knowable for each one of us. In fact, Jesus said he's mimicking the Father. In John 5:19, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying. So Jesus is actually mimicking the Father. The next verse there, it says, and walk in the way of love. If our mimicking of the Father does not contain an ingredient of love, we're missing the target. Something's missing. You know, we could pull different points out of God and just try to be those. But if it doesn't include love, then something's missing. He goes on and said, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The way Jesus loved us is that he first loved the Father. The way we can love somebody is that we first love the Father. If you really want to love somebody, love the Father first. Because there are things that I will do because my love my Father that I won't do because of my love for you. I may not want to forgive you for something you did, but because I love him, I'm going to do it anyways. Even if the first is like, ugh. It's like Tim Allen when he put on Santa Claus. He put on that Santa Claus thing. It's like, ugh. Frustrating. There's things that I might do. I don't want to love you again. You hurt me. But because my love for him, I will love you again. I may not want to be kind to you because you weren't kind to me. But because of my love for him, I will. That's how Jesus loved us. And that's how we to love. That's why Jesus said the two greatest commandments, love God first, then love one another. If we don't know how to love him, we're not loving him, we can't love one another the way he wants to. He goes on, Apostle Paul, and this is basically Paul was talking in the first three. He says, you know, since you know all this stuff, how much God's done for you, here's the way we should live. Here's what should happen. So the next scripture says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. He's saying, be on guard. Watch yourself. There's a scripture in Proverbs 5:15. It says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. That's basically talking about, Solomon's talking about adultery. But there's something, you know, in any society, if you look through history, when marriage is dishonored, it's beginning a deterioration of society. I'm not saying everybody has to be married. I'm not saying that, you know, but when you dishonor marriage, when it's dishonored, there's something begins deteriorating. And one of the things I know for years that I've share with mostly as the men, is that we have to be careful. It's not just drinking water, it's sipping water. You don't have to take big gulps. You can get little sips, and you have to ask, you think that's going to deteriorate my relationship. You know, we all need friends. And if you're married, a spouse, you can't depend on your spouse to be the only friend you have. That's unhealthy. You need friends. We need other people. But the thing is that we have to be careful that we're not sipping and getting things from other people that we should be getting from our spouse. And the other side of that is that we also have to be careful that I'm not allowing myself to be used that way. That I'm not letting somebody sip from me when really they need to be going to their spouse. So don't let us, don't not be coming at, you know, we can sip not just from other people. We can sip from our jobs. We can sip from habits. We can sip from entertainment. There's things that can deteriorate relationships besides other people. So Paul's saying, be careful. Don't even let a hint of that happen. Don't even let a little bit of that happen. The next scripture there says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. He gives a solution here. Excuse me. One of the ways we can keep from doing this is that we have a thankful heart. If we focus on being thankful for what God's done and thanksgiving, that's one of the ways. The other thing is Jesus said, and it's recorded in Matthew 12:34. He says, from the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we're saying, if we're having coarse joking, obscenity, these things, you got to check your heart. What's inside my heart? What's going on inside there? As part of, you know, Jesus said, and Peter talked about this, and 1 Peter says, we are a kingdom of priests. And you know, one of the responsibilities of a priest was a gatekeeper. In fact, if you read in 2 Chronicles 23:4, it says a third of the priests, their sole responsibility was a gatekeeper. And a gatekeeper, basically, they stood around the temple and they watched who came in and who went out. They didn't want to bring anything bad, but anybody stealing, because there's a lot of stuff in that temple. There was millions and millions and could be up to $1 billion in that temple of different things. So they watched that. But we're called to be a kingdom of priests. And we are, you are, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So there's something about you. Each one of us have a responsibility to guard what's coming in that temple and what's going out of that temple, to be watching that. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So why does the scripture say even a hint? Because if you read, I don't know if you read this, but I've read lots of counseling books and studies and stuff, that typically most deteriorations, most people don't get into a really bad habit or don't get into an adulterous relationship or don't get into something that messes up their life just like that. It's usually a little tiny bit. And you open that gate a little tiny bit. And then you got this, you got the temptation coming. It's knocking. So I went in that gate. That temptation wants in that gate. And we can rationalize. You know, really it starts up here. And this is something in I think it's, where is it here? 1 Timothy 4:7. Paul said, told Timothy, his son, in the Lord, he says, train yourself to be godly. That word train is where we get gymnastics from. Exercise. We have to train. Society, we've all been trained through our upbringing, through society, how we react to different things in life. And some of us think, it's no big deal. You know, it's no big deal to do that. It's no big deal to swear and tell bad, dirty, filthy jokes and to talk all this stuff. It's no big deal. But that's because of our upbringing. And so what we have to do is, but God says, it is a big deal. Why? Because, it says, because we're called to be light. We're called to be that. And he's saying, if that's us, if that's what you're not, and I had to deal with this, I can tell you the very day, the very moment, last time I said a bad word. I remember that. The Holy Spirit convicted me. He goes, bam, says, that was bad. And I never knew that. I thought, that's just the way you talk. That's just what you do. You just talk like this. And the Lord says, you need to rethink. When that temptation comes, when that thing walks, okay, wait, I'm used to this. I'm used to just letting that gate fly open. I'll just, hey, come on in, whatever. I'm used to that. It says, no, you have to retrain yourself to say, no, I'm not going to open that gate this time. And I have to, and then sometimes it's not going to feel comfortable the first time because you're not used to that movement. You know, sometimes if you train and you exercise and athletes, you know, athletes who run, a lot of times they get injured because they only do one motion. And so if they do something different, running, if they do something different, they pull muscle or something. That's why they talk about cross training and training. It's one of those things, the same thing in the spirit. That we have to train ourselves that movement, that motion is an easy motion. It might feel uncomfortable, but learning to open those and or close those when we need to. He goes on here in Ephesians. And he talks about, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes to those who are disobedient. Empty words, that word means devoid of truth. There's no truth in it. There's several ways. I don't know if you've ever, have you ever found or seen a counterfeit bill? There's several methods they teach about how to recognize a counterfeit bill. And we can recognize counterfeit truth. One of the main ways they talk about identifying a counterfeit bill is holding it up to a light. We have a light. Jesus said, he is the light. We have the light of the word. We have the Holy Spirit. There's several that the light can reveal things to it. Another thing they said they put nowadays, a watermark. We can ask ourselves, is there a watermark of truth in this? Is there another one? They said there's certain things you can put in an ultraviolet light and has an ultraviolet glow. Is there something? What is going on with this word? And the last one is comparison. If we're used to knowing and feeling and understanding what the truth is, we recognize the something that's false much faster. So it's getting to know that. Paul, another one, he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Can we say that together? Can we say, I am light in the Lord? I am light in the Lord. Can we say, I am a child of the light? That's what the Bible says we are. That's what, and all these things, as Paul's saying, he's saying, this is what it should look like. If we want a vision, if we want the simulation that's going on, that he's saying, this is the simulation, this is what it looks like. But as you could tell us what we already read, this could be challenging. I don't know about you, but some of this could be really challenging, especially in today's culture and society where there's a lot of this stuff just flying all over the place. This could be challenging. We need the Holy Spirit. He goes on and he says, find out what pleases God. Here's some things real quick that pleases God. Prayer, the Bible says, pleases God. Being a person of prayer. He says, when he talks about Timothy, he says, this is good to pray, and it pleases God our Savior. Faith, Hebrews 1:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith pleases God. Worship pleases God. In Romans chapter 12, how we treat one another pleases God. Not judging, not condemning. What Sam might feel is okay for him to do, I might be challenged doing that. And Sam might think, what's wrong with you? This is what he's saying. You know, there's things you guys can do I might not be able to have the freedom to do. It's just not where I'm at. But that doesn't mean you're wrong and I'm wrong. It says, and what he's saying, and this is Romans chapter 4, and he says, don't judge one another. Be free. Christ came to set us free. Walk in the ways of love in that. So that's another thing he came to, how we can know what pleases God. He says, being generous, sharing with the poor, caring for one another, taking care of our families pleases God. Providing for them. And God promises to help us to know what these are. The last scripture we'll look at here is in Ephesians 5:15. It says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Who likes to feel like they made a good purchase? You feel like you like the God that said, yeah, I got that. I know last fall, there was this thing, I got this thing, it was IHG, if you know what it is, it's great. They said, if you sign up for this, we're going to give you thousands upon thousands of points. I thought, I could do that. So I did. I signed up for it, got like 85,000 points or something like that. I read the fine print. And I did it because I know we were going to go on vacation. And I know what those pay for. So basically last week, most of our vacation was paid for, the lodging was paid for with those points. So then next, in about a month or so now, I'll probably cancel that card. So I felt good about that purchase. I thought, that's good. So that's basically what this word means. It means to redeem, buy up, to rescue from loss, improve your opportunity. And this is a good one. Go to the market. So that's really what it means. Go. Get that purchase. Go get that. Make the deal of it. But it says, though, at the proper time. That's the word that opportunity means. There is a set time. That doesn't mean you become crazy workaholic, crazy out there, just like, oh, is this an opportunity time? Is this an opportunity time? No. You listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit say, this is an opportune time. Relax. Chill. Just chill. But listen to God and say, is this an opportune time, God? God, do you want me to go over there and share with that? Do you want me to say something to this person? Do you want me to buy this? It's not just all people. He might want you to invest. He might want you to buy. He might want you to look into a new job. I remember when I worked in Upper Sandusky, I wanted to leave this job so bad. I really wanted to do it. And God said, no, you cannot leave this job. I worked there for 3 years. He said, no. I didn't want to leave it until after I worked there for 6 months. It was only 2.5 years. And I wanted to leave that job so bad. He kept saying, no, no, no. And the day, And I won't tell you all the details, but the day this person came in, the owner, and told me certain news, I felt just clear as day the Holy Spirit, you can leave. Flipped open the paper, there's a job, exactly what I was going to do, what I wanted to do, right in the same town, applied for it, got the job, everything. So it was the opportune time. So it's not just in sharing your faith, it's life and him doing that. Can we have one of the musicians come up, please? So if we go ahead and stand, as you can see in those 6 or 7 verses, there's a lot there that could be challenging in life. And I don't expect us all to run out and say, let's just do all these things. It's like, what is the Holy Spirit saying to us? What is God saying to you? And you know, I would guarantee that there's several different things. And he might not be saying anything to you about any of these verses. It might be something else he's talking to you about. But one of the things I do want to ask us is these questions. Just something to consider and something to sense. Are you willing to be an imitator of God? Are you willing to be an imitator? If you are, just lift your hand to the Lord. Let him know. Say, Lord, say, I am willing. Just say that to the Lord. I'm willing. Are you willing to take up your priestly duty to be a gatekeeper? And that's really between you and God. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is it? I have things I have to watch. I'm a human. I have to watch things. I know I'm careful. There's things I totally stay away from. I just stay away from it because I know myself. You know, you could know yourself. I'm not going to be stupid. As I was saying, some of you could go do things I can't do. I have to stay away from it. But are you willing to take up your priestly duty as a gatekeeper? If you say, just say, I'm willing to be a gatekeeper if you're doing that. This is for your life. And last one is, are you willing to make the most of every opportunity by staying aware of what God is doing in your life? Are you willing to do that? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for, Lord, it's not by our own energy, our own power, our own might, our own ability that we can do any of these things, Lord, that we can even live a life pleasing to you. But we thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit. You saved us, Jesus. You came and forgave us. And Lord, even in all these things, Lord, even as many times as we might fall, as we might not attain, as we might make mistakes, we might blow it, you said that you forgive us, God. If we just ask you, you will forgive us again and again and again and again. We thank you for that, God, that you will forgive us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your life in us, that you sealed us and you live in us and give us power to live and glorify you. Help us to know your grace and mercy as we strive, Lord, to be children of the light and children of the day. We give you glory, Father, in Jesus' name.